Hi, this is Robert Schuler with Melissa's Produce, and you're listening in on Cord, Vines, and Dimes.
Hear people say life's too short, or you never know what you got till it's gone. Well, I never really understood what that meant until I lost you.
I won't see you again.
Guess who we just listened to?
Raven.
Raven. Yeah. Yes, we got a little snip of Raven's See You Again, and Raven is our featured artist, music artist.
We know because you've been raving about it.
I've been raving about Raven.
And if you don't know who Raven is, think about Redbone. Come and get your love. Well, welcome to Cords, Vines, and Dines. I'm Tom Plant. She is Kat Ellis, and he is...
Gary Dalton.
The Dalton Gang.
Yay.
Yay, Gary. We love having Gary here.
We do. It's been a while. We're trying to take the training wheels off and learn how to drive this thing again.
I thought it was like riding a bicycle. You don't forget.
Not quite that simple, but we're here. And we are also brought to you by Melissa's Produce, our official produce sponsor. And Kat, we're going to go to Melissa's.
I was
very
just going to say that.
In the next couple of weeks.
Yeah,
it
May 21st,
I think so. It's just like a little wonderland of produce.
It's going to be a preview of all their new produce coming out here.
Yep, and Chef Tom is going to be whipping up some goodies in the kitchen for us.
And Sassy Cat will, too.
That's right. Are you going to bring some sassiness?
I don't know if I'll bring some. Maybe I'll see how it goes. If I'm going to bring some sassiness over to Melissa's, I need to bring several jars for people.
And, yes.
Oh, I should bring some to Faye.
You should. Faye is a trip.
She is. She's this little lady. She and her husband do all of the Melissa's events.
When Kat says little lady, she is 4 foot what?
Like eight.
Oh, no. Not she's not that tall.
Yeah, she. I mean, it's really funny because I talk to her. She comes up to about my waist. You know?
Wow.
She and her husband are just the sweetest people ever, and they're always promoting and working with food and restaurants, and especially Melissa's, and doing multi marketing, you know, for them, mm-hmm. and winning all sorts of fruit baskets. And I'm jealous all the time.
They're both phenomenal chefs. I mean, yeah. They both know their way around the kitchen very well,
and they look up to you.
Literally. So, yeah, maybe I should do that. At least bring something to Faye. Maybe I can get her to do a little write-up on it.
Wouldn't that be nice?
But anyway.
She has a following.
She does have. She has a huge following. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of them.
That's right. So am I.
But, yeah, so I'm excited about that. We haven't had a road trip out to Melissa's in quite a while.
And where is this?
In L.A.
Laverne.
In L.A.
What is it, Laverne?
Laverne, I think it is.
Is it Laverne?
Part of the industrial part of...
Yeah, we have to make a quick run out and run back, get ahead of the traffic.
But Melissa's.com, and I mean, they have around 1,500 different produce items at any given time.
Wow.
And Kat and I, you've been back in the where they keep all the goodies and all the refrigerated. I mean, there's room after room after room after room of... peppers and melons and, I mean, you name it.
And, wow. And when you walk in into their media room where everybody is, they have a beautiful kitchen, which I'm just, like, envious. But on all the walls, there's pictures with Julia Child and all these famous chefs. And you just get like a reverence when you walk in. You go, oh, my God, Julia Child. You know, and you're thinking, I get goosebumps thinking about it.
Wow.
It is very exciting. So I look forward to going again. We just haven't been able to do it.
So, yeah.
But I have done their online events.
Yeah. And we'll have to get a nice little box or two from Robert and have him back so we can talk about spring and summer.
And we'll get some goodies to bring back for Gary.
Oh, you think?
You want some goodies?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'm always
into goodies.
There's a table as you leave that goes from here to the far corner of this room, laden, heaped with boxes of things and fresh, loose fruit. And help yourself, grab a couple of bags, and we'll bring you some goodies.
We'll bring you some.
Awesome. I'll be looking forward to that.
Yes. So anyway, we're going to be doing that. And then I also want to mention, too, that our featured artist, Raven, is going to be playing this Friday? No, two Fridays.
The 16th.
The 16th.
At Flame.
At Flame International Restaurant on at 11330 Santa Monica Boulevard in Los Angeles.
And Raven is a big part of Redbone 2.0. And Redbone, just look up the song, do a search for Come and Get Your Love, and you're going to go, I remember that song.
Yes, definitely. And I'd sure love to get him out here to our area to perform.
Yeah, let's work on that. We also have a very special guest in addition to Raven. We have Francesco Cusimano.
Speaking of food, oh, yum.
We visited Francesco at Rustico recently. Francesco, as the two of you know, and I go back many, many, many years.
Yeah.
And we had such a nice visit. And talk about putting on the food.
Awesome.
He fed us until we had to be wheeled out.
I know, no kidding. That was so good. And then I brought back pizzas for the grand boys.
Calzone.
Yeah, calzone, that's right. They'd never had a calzone before.
And they approved?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The reverse pizza.
Yep. I imagine there was nothing left.
Nothing left.
Yep.
So good. We got to go back there anyway.
Well, we will. Soon.
Yes. And the wine we had there,
oh,
too.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
that was so good.
We had a Chianti Superior. Oh, you naughty girl.
But that's from
Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
Get your hand off my
head. I'll never drink Chianti again without thinking of that. Hearing that in the back of my mind.
So, shall we get into our first interview?
Yes, our first interview is with
Francesco Cusimano.
Francesco, we go back 15 years at least.
I would say even more.
Maybe a little more. Yes. Francesco is Francesco Cusimano.
Yes.
Am I saying it close to correctly?
You said it perfect.
Yay.
Francesco Cusimano from Rustico Ristorante and Pizzeria in Murrieta. Perfect.
Wonderful. And last year you celebrated your 20th anniversary.
20. Feels like yesterday.
Yeah. So before I get
here. Yes.
Yeah.
20 years here?
Here.
Wow.
Yeah.
And before I take over the show, you are listening to Chords, Vines, and Dines. I'm here with Kat Ellis, who's our fearless leader, and Gary Dalton, the infamous Gary Dalton. And we are at Rustico in Murrieta.
Well, welcome to my place.
Thank you. We were here for Valentine's.
Yes, we were.
Right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the same spot.
Just about.
Yeah, good memory.
This place. Yes.
And with all the business you had, it's surprising you could remember.
Tom is my friend.
Yeah,
my
friend. We go way back.
Yes.
I'm proud to call you my friend.
We are friends, for sure. Yes.
Yeah. So 20 years ago, Francesco, what was going through your mind? What did you envision for this place?
Well, we had just moved to the Temecula Valley area maybe 22 years ago. And at that time, I had a restaurant in Oceanside, but the travel was getting kind of bad.
Yeah.
So I just look around, and I happened to live not too far from the restaurant, right? And they were building the shopping center. Mm-hmm. And I just said to my wife, I go, man, wouldn't that be nice if we could just open a restaurant close to the house, right? She just made a phone call. That's it.
God bless Philippa.
Amen. So I, you know, one thing leads to another, and then we were able to contact the broker, and who were able to sign up the lease. I sold my restaurant in Oceanside, and we opened up Rustico about 7-8 months after we sold the restaurant in Oceanside. And as you know, Tom, with ups and downs, all kinds of things hitting this whole area and businesses in general, you know, with the help of God, we've been here 21 years almost. Wow. In August, wow. 21 years.
Yeah, but for you to stay and keep a restaurant open for 20 years, that's remarkable.
Yeah.
That is remarkable.
It's definitely not an easy task.
Especially when everybody had to eat outside 5 years ago.
And 5 years ago, I honestly don't think the 5 years ago, the whole, we won't say the name.
That thing.
But even prior to that, I mean, we had all kinds of developments. We had the recession in 2007, 2008. We had actually a truck eating our building that made us be closed for 49 days, 7 hours, and 37 seconds.
But who's counting?
Right? Who's counting? So we seen, I can't say we've seen it all, but we've seen close to everything.
Wow.
But I have to say, though, that for my experience, there is not a better community than the community around us. And I'm just not saying customers, I'm talking about people like you, Tom, and you know, everybody that has been here, they just give us a hug when times have been tough. And we've seen some tough times.
Yeah.
So.
But you're still here.
We're still here.
Added on.
Oh yeah.
Where we're sitting wasn't part of your restaurant.
This didn't exist before. So this used to be, first there was a bike shop, then it turned into a yoga shop. And then I was seeing myself going around every once in a while. I throw away the trash, right? And I would go, man, this would be a great addition to the restaurant. I tell you the story about this.
Yeah, please.
When I was, I went to Italy in 2019 to spend some time with my brothers, right? And we went to Siena. I don't know if you're familiar with Siena.
Sure.
Siena is the Chianti region of Italy, the wine region. Just beautiful, right? So I was at this restaurant called Da Divo.
Okay.
And it's just beautiful. It's actually inside. The facade looks like just building. And then when you go inside, it's actually a cave.
Wow.
Incredible. Bricks, you know, all kinds of weird walls and everything, right? So guess what? I told my brother, man, I go, if that place will come available, right? Maybe I could build it close to that.
Yeah.
Guess what? 4 months later, we opened up this place.
Wow.
So this is all patterned after what you saw in Siena.
It was inspired by that. Yeah. Definitely was inspired by that. And you know, this has been such a blessing because during that period of shutdown, we're going to call it shutdown, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
We did a lot of to-go business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, incredible to-go business. People will come and call and say, you're not going to go under. We're just going to support you like you have no idea. We had the best Mother's Day to that point, at that point, right? Ever without customer inside the restaurant.
Wow. That's impressive.
Only on to-go's, right? So we needed a place to keep paper goods and stuff, right? So this turned actually into a storage.
I was just going to ask, you had toilet paper, right? That's what drew people.
We did.
They couldn't find any, but you had some. Right?
I had it, but I was actually giving it away to people that actually needed it. All my employees, they needed it, and I was able to just
supply
it for
them. Thank you. How about you, Francesco? You need some water?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Once then the whole situation went out, turned this into many things. This is, it's almost like a chameleon play.
Okay.
It could be a speakeasy at time. It could be a reception for a wedding. Mm-hmm. We've done so many events here. We did a Spanish night one time in here. To kind of start off.
That's how I see you, sitting at the head of a long table.
Right.
In a dark speakeasy.
Yeah. So, but going back on what you asked me, Tom, earlier, you said you've been here 21 years and there's not very many restaurants. There's actually a few, actually, they've been here.
There maybe, wasn't much of anything out
maybe
here.
Maybe even longer than right. us. And they've been very successful as well. But the 21 years in here, not only we're grown with it, but the community is grown with it. And sometimes you feel like, man, how can a restaurant make it 21 years? There's one word, sacrifice.
Yeah. Yep.
And consistency. You put out a good, consistent product. And
you can put as much consistency, and obviously you're absolutely right, but if you not sacrifice when you are consistent, and you know that the business is not good.
Right.
You know how many people would just say, you know what?
Yeah, I'm out.
I don't want to do this anymore. Right. I'm done. So there were times around 2009 when we've seen people closing restaurants and they just didn't want to do it anymore. But I got one of the best compliments ever one time at an event. This lady, I'm not going to mention the name of the restaurant, but she said to me, "You're Francesco, you're the owner of Rustico, huh? Man, you're hard-headed." And I go, "Why?" He goes, "I don't believe it. Every time some other restaurant closed down,
you're still here.
You kept flourishing." But they didn't know that I wasn't getting paid.
Passion, my friend.
I made sure my employees got paid, okay? But I wasn't taking a check.
Yeah.
People don't know that stuff. And I hope we can share this. But
absolutely.
This is really what it's all about. We sacrifice a lot.
I think people need to know that.
Yeah.
And talk about what's going on in your kitchen. I mean, the food, I've always been a fan.
I'll tell you what, and this is a testament to the restaurant. I still have 3 cooks from the day we opened this restaurant.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yes.
Wow. That's consistency. Yes. That's.
I have a server still here that she started 6 months after we opened the restaurant.
Wow.
We have, there she is. It's her.
Hello.
Hi.
Right?
Of course.
You started working in here when? 6 months after we opened, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Bravo.
Love this place.
Well, what's not to love?
Well, I've seen you a million times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had servers here that work 8 years, 9 years, mm-hmm. 10 years. We have a great management team. The kitchen, they're working automatic. Mm-hmm. They see our passion, right? And they want to mimic it. They do. You know, I'm telling you, we don't leave anything just to, maybe. No. It better be.
lead by example,
lead
right?
Lead by example.
Yeah.
We come here at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
We make our own bread. We make our own pizza dough. We make our own sauces. We make our own dressings. We make pretty much 85-90% of the food. It's made in the house.
Yeah, wow.
I think, and as you know, the bread that we make here,
it's so good.
It's incredible. Mm-hmm.
If I ask real nice, maybe we can take a little home.
Oh, for sure. Not just a little. Enough for a week if you want.
Well, I've got to order pizzas to bring home too, so I got to do that.
For sure, yeah. So, but number one is just really been our passion for good food. But I think what's made this place a success has been passion for people.
Mm-hmm.
We love people. We love people, even the unloving ones. There's not very many of those, okay? But we have we have made so many relationships. Mm-hmm. Some of the customers have gone to Italy with us.
Wow.
That's great.
There is one thing I want to say about this guy right here. Okay. Mr. Plant.
Banana leaf.
Maybe you don't realize this stuff, but remember when we won the Chef Open?
I do.
In 2011 and 2012. You put an article on us.
Yeah.
Okay? You put an article on us that is still, we can still able to Google it.
Wow.
That article brought so much interest to the restaurant that it was probably the best writing we've ever had.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm just telling you, yeah. Not because you're here or anything, but it is true.
That makes my heart happy.
He just wrote something that it was just incredible. Awesome. And it was, I think I still have it one of these days. Well, you probably have it anyway.
Huh? I can look it up, right. Sure.
So, but just sparked so much curiosity in people that we actually saw it. We saw people coming in, hey, we read this, and you won the
Chef Open.
Chef Open, South California Chef Open, and we did it back to back, remember?
Yeah.
12 and 13, I think, or 11 and 12, anyways, but it's been a long time.
Well, I'm so happy to hear that. You know what I love is we can go 5 years, and that's on me, without seeing each other, and we pick it up like that.
That's what true friends are all.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really what it is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
What style of food, how would you describe your what you serve here?
Just like the name of the restaurant, Rustico, right? Rustico. It's a rustic food.
Mm-hmm.
Our mentality and I would say it's like make your customer happy. Make sure that they have enough food that they can take it home.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure it's very good quality. And rustic in a way that doesn't have to be presented in a way of like maybe like a Michelin star restaurant. You know, Michelin star restaurant, you go, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But then when you get out, you want to go eat a burger because you're still hungry, right? But you want to make sure that people are happy. But it's not about the food. It's not all about the food,
right.
As you said. It's about the connection that you make with people, the connection you make with you know what actually fills my heart is when we get customers. We call them family. We don't call them customers. They come in, right? And they say, hey, we brought our friends from Buffalo, New York, and they wanted you to meet them.
Yeah.
This is what fills our heart.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps us going. Absolutely. So anyway, sorry, I kind of went on a rabbit trail here, but to answer your question, our food is very simple, good ingredients, rustic, we call them, mm-hmm. Inspired by some of my mom's recipes.
Nice.
We're from Sicily, so we use a lot of olive oil, mm-hmm. a lot of vegetable seafood. We don't skimp on anything. So our flours are tailored to what we really need to achieve in our restaurant. We try to keep them always the same unless something better comes up.
Okay.
Okay. So, and we're always looking to improve our food. Okay. And now you're saying wine. Our food needs to match the wine too.
Right.
So that's
of course.
Very, very important as well. So,
who picks out all your wines?
Myself. Yeah. I love wine. I love wine because wine, as we know, really complements food.
It does.
I tell you a little thing that my dad always told me. My dad used to say this. We make this pizza in Sicily, right? It's called sfingione. It's a thick square pizza with onion sauce and a little bit of cheese, right? And I'll never forget. And I was maybe like 7, 8, 9 years old, right? I eat a piece of pizza, and then I went to grab a little bit of water. And my dad goes, no, don't drink water. You're going to get agita. You're going to get a heartburn, right? And he goes, Dad, what should I? Here, just a little bit of wine. You can settle your stomach.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And you know what? My dad wasn't a drinker. Mm-hmm. He would only drink a glass of wine when it was time to eat. That's it.
Right.
Didn't drink for like holidays or any occasion, just only when he actually ate food. But that kind of stayed in me. It kind of impressed me in a way. But if you think about it, if you have a pizza, would you want to have a glass of water? At least a beer, right?
At least.
At least a beer. So, yeah. Now you can have Prosecco, a little bit of Cava, or all kinds of nice one. But yeah, that's really what it is. I can't see a nice, fine dinner without a good glass of wine.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You were saying it's not all about the food, which reminds me, you know, I was in the wine tour business for several years. I took people out to the wineries here. And what came to my mind was you can have a good wine and great customer service and people will come flocking back. You can have a great wine and be snobby and people aren't going to, well, yeah, it was really good wine, but I don't know that I want to go back there. Yeah. So same deal, I think.
No, customer service is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You not only make a customer, you actually make relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, we're made to live life in a relationship way. You know, if I never met you, you probably wouldn't have write that article.
No.
You know what I'm saying? But there is a reason why you actually wrote that right article, sure. Right?
The relationship.
You were proud of us that we won that award, right?
You bet.
But do you think that somebody else that didn't have a relationship with me would I have write that article the same way?
No.
You wrote it with passion.
Thank you, my friend.
You did. And when you talk about my restaurant around town, you're talking about Rustico with passion. Most of the people, they go, hey, you need to go check out Rustico. You love Francesco. You love Filippa. They don't. And by the way, the food is great too.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
But that's not the number one reason.
Like I said, I'm proud of my food, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I know how the food is made. But this is family. You know, somebody actually one time said about this restaurant? In quote, this is Cheers West.
Nice.
I love
nice.
That.
Nice.
Yeah. Perfect.
It's a place where everybody knows your name.
That's right.
Right?
So, anyways.
Speaking of your wines, we had a Nero d'Avola on Valentine's Day.
Nero d'Avola.
Ah, beautiful wine.
Talking about my roots, Nero d'Avola, it's a Sicilian wine.
Yeah.
That it used to be used to kind of cut the Sangiovese when they make Chianti a little bit, you know? But in the last 15 years, Nero d'Avola has really taken off.
Now, this isn't Sicilian, but I would bet you're familiar with Sagrantino.
Yes.
And that's a little known wine, but I think it's incredible.
Oh, yeah. But Italy, Italy's got a multitude of varietals.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Just a region alone could have hundreds. I mean, you're...
Sure.
Even Sardinia's got one of the best reds in the whole world called Cannonau.
I was in Sardinia, and I think I had it. It was incredible.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And
I'm thinking about going there and buying a house for a dollar.
In Sardinia.
It's $2 now, Gary.
It's $2 now?
Gary,
oh,
make sure you know, though, that with $2, then you got to spend $500,000 to fix it.
I do all my own work.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have some dear friends, Paul and Meryl Bonarigo.
Mm-hmm.
They opened the fifth winery in the state of Texas. And
really?
There's now over 500-600 or maybe more.
That's awesome.
But we met actually in Italy on a press trip, and he brought back some cuttings of Sagrantino.
Really?
With him, and he planted it in Texas, and they now have acres.
And the weather is okay for that grape?
But, you know, there's so many different climates in the state.
Right.
But he produces a beautiful, beautiful Sagrantino in Texas.
I'd like to try it.
I'll get some.
Yeah, I'd like to try it.
Yeah, the Messina Hof Winery.
Okay, mm-hmm. Very nice.
So what is your favorite on the menu?
Can I be honest with you?
Sure.
This is one of the hardest questions. I can tell you what
it's
I
hard.
Lean towards most of the time.
Right.
And usually it's because I was born in an island surrounded by ocean. Well, Mediterranean Sea, right? I'm from Palermo, Sicily. Mm. So I always lean towards seafood. I love a good steak, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if you give me a plate with seafood and pasta linguine with like frutti di mare, oh man, I just jump right on. The probably second, again, lean to are the risotti. I like risotti like crazy, like porcini risotto.
Yum.
Or asparagus risotto.
Oh, yeah.
Or cacio e pepe risotto.
Those sound like...
You're making us hungry.
Well, that's my job, huh?
That sounds like menu right up my alley.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, risotto to me, it used to be called like poor man meal or some whatever they call them. Like. But now they're becoming really gourmet. So... You can go and get a, let's say, a saffron lobster risotto, right? And then put a couple of shaving of truffle on it.
Oh, yeah.
And spend $150 on,
on a poor man's meal.
Right, on a poor man's meal, right? So I do love risottos in general. It's one of my favorites. What we do here sometimes is, I'm sure you're familiar, is the cheese wheel.
Okay.
Right? It's becoming really, really popular. I do it right here in this room.
Oh,
or sometimes I just go around with the little cart. And and last 2 weeks ago, the whole month of March, we did it every Wednesday. So we call it Cheese Wheel Wednesday, right?
Okay.
And people love to interact, right? So I go and then I think of a dish that I gotta do and I make it in front of them. But a couple of weeks ago, I made this deconstructed lasagna.
Wow.
Wow.
I could not keep up with it. I just could not keep up with it. At some point, I told the front house, I'm done. I just can't do it anymore. The cheese wheel is done. There's no more. We're scraping the bottom of this thing.
Well, let us know next time you do it. We'd love to
you, if you follow us on social media, like Instagram and Facebook, we are at I Love Rustico.
Okay.
So
when you create your recipes... Do you sit there and write them all down? Do you remember them all in your head? The amounts? Everything you do?
I'm more like my mom, in a way. I mean, my mom used to do a little bit of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of this. And then when you taste it, right, you go,
a little more of that.
maybe I need to put a little extra garlic. Or maybe maybe this is too much garlic. And then once I do that, then I finalize the whole art. Now, this is for the food. When it comes to baking, though, it's completely different.
Right.
Because baking has to be exactly the same amount. And that's what we do. We make our own focaccia bread. We make our own rustico house bread. With the focaccia, we make our bruschetta.
Mm-hmm.
And then we make our sandwiches with it, too. So,
beautiful.
So, I mean, like I said,
I'm hungry.
I think a success of a business is seen from the baking part of it. When you know that a restaurant makes its own bread, there is something about the city.
I don't know if you ever met Steve Piquel. He was the executive chef at Thornton Winery many, many years ago.
I don't think I ever did.
I remember him saying once, God help me if I ever get hit in the head with a brick, because there's all my recipes, all up here.
Oh, he had him. Yeah, of course.
He said, if I ever get hit in the head with a brick, I'm in trouble.
Right. But I think, yes, I agree with him, because we don't really write them down until you probably, when you're ready to franchise, then you have to do
Do you remember, I asked you about Mount Tamalpais.
Yeah.
If you'd ever been to that German restaurant up there.
Marin County. Well, I grew up in.
Oh, okay.
There was a German restaurant up at the top of that hill back in the 70s when I was there. Their bread was as black as the tires on your car.
Wow.
And I was, they brought it out and I looked at it and I'm like, did you burn that? Was it in the oven a little too long? Oh, it was unbelievable.
Really, yeah.
Black. bread.
Wow, that's...
And I...
Was it just the outside or the inside,
no,
too?
No, the whole thing was
black
as that screen on your phone right there.
What was it like a...
It was soft. It was unbelievable.
Like a sourdough or some... Oh, you don't...
It was black bread. I ate it. I don't know.
That was German.
I was 20-something years old. What do I
have to look that up.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time,
my
Francesco.
Pleasure.
This has been a wonderful visit with Francesco Cusimano. I'm sorry that Philippe is not here, but we send her love.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I will definitely let her know.
So you're located off of Winchester Road in Hunter.
Yes.
And you're open what days, what hours?
We're open every day
from
11 to 9.
Okay.
We have different events throughout the week. We're going to start pretty soon something new in this room that is going to be almost like a speakeasy type
of
thing. So, but like I said, we're open every day, and we're open, you know, reservation, walk-ins, whatever, phone calls, or party. But we can do anything, which that's what we've done. And thank you for doing this.
We wish you another 20 years.
20?
40.
40. Man, I'll be old by the time. I'll be old.
Love you, Francesco.
Love you, Tom. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you, buddy. You.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Don't you love that back room in Rustico where we had Valentine's?
Yes.
And that's
beautiful.
We visited with Francesco. Yeah, it's a wonderful place.
I want to take some lessons, cooking lessons with him.
It could be arranged.
I would love that.
Let's look into that.
All right. Are we gonna do our game of food?
As soon as talk amongst yourselves while I grab the game.
Gary, okay. I was going to tell you that I was in my storage unit and going through some stuff, and I came across a poster of the Dalton game.
Oh, where do you see it, Gary?
Yeah, but I don't know where I put it in here now. I moved it so the kittens couldn't get to it. It was at Tap Daddy's.
At what?
Tap Daddy's.
Tap Daddy's.
And I don't remember. I went there, and Bobby Batterton had made these posters, and he had them up there on the wall. But Bobby had invited me to come out. You didn't, but Bobby did. And
shame on you.
And I looked, and there were all my pictures on the poster. And so you guys played there, I think, two nights. So on the second night or something, I went back and took one.
Do you remember Tap Daddies?
No, I don't. maybe I had too much tap. I don't know.
We're ready for the game of food. I'm going to assign you, both of you, categories. And we're going to start with Kat, I'll give you a choice. Would you like ingredients or regional dishes?
Oh, God. Give me ingredients.
Okay, fire away.
Okay. Did you peek?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, this is easy.
Good.
You're going to know this one right off, Tom.
We'll see.
Which is the spiciest chili pepper on the Scoville heat scale? Ready? The ghost pepper? Trinidad Moruga Scorpion? Porcelain Destroyer? Or the Carolina Reaper?
Ding, ding, ding. Reaper.
You think so, Gary? Yes.
Not that much into peppers. Ghost pepper?
Carolina Reaper.
Ghost pepper is that one.
Carolina Reaper.
Yeah.
What's it reap?
Pain, havoc.
Was it reaps havoc on the exit?
But isn't there another pepper that has been developed?
Oh, yeah.
Developed
there's a pepper
not,
X, and there's... Yeah, a couple others that are...
It's not official yet, I don't think, but there's one that's supposed to be even hotter out now.
Jalapeno is, I think, what is it, a couple hundred on the Scoville unit? It's something...
Yeah.
The Carolina Reaper is over 2 million, so it's that many times hotter than a jalapeno.
Whoa. And why is it Carolina?
Maybe that's where the...
Is that where they're growing?
I don't know. I'll have to look that one up.
Gary, would you like cooking tools and techniques or regional dishes?
Cooking tools.
Okay.
And techniques.
Okay.
Or tinnacues.
Tinnacues, that's it, yes.
Okay. In addition to lending a nice grassy flavor, adding the Mexican herb Oh boy. Epazote? To a pot of beans can result in what pleasant side effect?
Wait a minute.
Well, I have an idea.
What? Wait.
Why don't I read it? I'll cover up the answer so I don't see it. But as I do, let's see. In addition to lending a nice grassy flavor, adding the Mexican herb epazote
that's
to a pot of beans can result in what pleasant side effect?
Oh, pleasant side effect.
What pleasant side effect?
Oh, okay. Okay. A, keeping beans from bursting. B, preventing foam and boilovers. C, reducing incidence of farting. And D, cooking beans faster.
I'm going to go with B as a guess, Kat.
I'm going to go with the one with the farting.
Okay. And the correct answer is, Mr. Dalton,
reducing the incidence of farting.
I'll be darned. Okay.
I did not know that, but when you said grass, and I was thinking of therapeutic things that would help keep the gas down or your stomach better.
We've sunk to this level, have we?
Anytime you talk about beans, there's got to be some,
All right.
Which reminds me, I do have a pot of beans cooking on the...
Oh, good. Did you put any epazote in it?
No, but I'll run right out and get some. My Hammond beans.
Regional dishes. Are you both ready?
Okay.
This Polish Jewish breakfast bread is a staple of many New York City bagel shops, where it's often described as a bagel without a hole. Is it A, a kumelweck, B, bialy, C, babka, or D, simit? Would you like those choices again?
Oh, my gosh.
It's a bagel without a hole.
Okay, give me the choices again.
Kumelweck, bialy, babka, or simit.
Can I call my friend Alan real quick?
No.
How about the second one?
Ding, 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 ding,
she
ding,
got
ding.
It?
Yes, it is a bialy.
A bialy.
There's two. Okay. I got two.
Yes. You went. Oh, no. Oh, let's see. I think somebody needs to ask me. Oh, no. I was included in the
round. Yeah, you did that. Well, you got the easy one with the peppers.
The Carolina Reaper. Yep. Should we move on to our little visit with Raven?
Yes. I really enjoyed that with Raven. And we could have gone on much longer. But they're going to hopefully get their tour going. He's got
plans. Yes.
And it sounds like it's going to be absolutely wonderful. So maybe we can catch up with them sometime during their tour. But let's get on with Raven Hernandez with Redbone 2.0.
I'm excited to introduce Raven Hernandez from Redbone 2.0, right? Hi, Raven.
That's correct. Redbone 2.0. Hi, how are you? How are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
We're good.
Yeah, so you're Redbone 2.0. I don't even know where to start on all of this. You said you were on your voicemail. You were formerly a Redbone, but what happened? Where did the 2.0 come around?
Well, I joined Redbone around 1999, and I worked for about 20 years in Redbone. I was the lead singer and guitarist that took Lolly Vegas's place. Lolly Vegas was the founding member of Redbone. And he had a stroke and couldn't play, like he needed to. They tried to rehabilitate him for about a year or so. And then they started looking for someone. And I had played with a lot of groups growing up. Big Joe Turner, Shirley and Lee, Joe Houston, Rosie and the Originals, Mary Kay Trio, going back, My Funny Valentine. So I played jazz, blues, rock, and just about anything I could because I just loved music, so it didn't matter. Just if I liked that, I would just play it. And I self-trained ear musician, so I could pick up anything pretty much. I could just hear it a couple times, and I got it. So I got with Redbone quite by accident, actually. We were doing an interview one night. They were looking for a guitar player, and so I didn't really know that. I got up and jammed with a group that was up there, and there was about 40 people at an open jam. And they were friends of Bat Vegas and Lolly Vegas. So I got up and jammed on, I think it was Sunshine of Your Love, Eric Clapton,
sure.
Cream, Long Train Running, Black Magic Woman, and some blues. I forget what it was. But anyway, and so that was on Thursday night at a coffee house. And then about a week later on Thursday night, I got a phone call. And they asked me if I'd like to audition. I said, when? They said, tonight. So it was 1 week exactly from the night that I jammed. And I didn't even know I was playing with any Redbone members or family people. So anyway, I went and jammed, and I met, you know, Pat Vegas, and I met the band, and we just caught on like a house on fire. And by the end of the jam, they said, would you like to go on the road? I said, yeah, well, I would. And I said, when would that be? He said, day after tomorrow.
There you go.
Because, oh my God, I'm thinking, oh, he's got a chance to really prepare for that one. No, I did not. But it was great fun. That's kind of what it was working with the Bone. You always flying by the seat of your pants, you know. We're definitely a native band, and we were on Indian time, and we did things our way.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty interesting because I had a crash course and being a Redbone member.
It's funny. It was a few weeks ago, the name Redbone came up in our circle, and Kat and I looked at each other. I said, Redbone, that was Come and Get Your Love. And then we listened to just the first two notes of that song. And I was shocked. I mean, it hit number five, which is very, very... That's decent, but I was shocked it wasn't a number one song. I was just shocked.
Yeah, it pretty much to this day has generated so much money in Guardians of the Galaxy, TikTok, and Family Guy, and countless commercials and TV shows and stuff. The song is really, people just like that song. You know, it's just friendly to the ears. And I get so many people that come and ask me, they want to know about the band. So it's been a real pleasure touring, you know, and stopping off at all the casinos and all the fairgrounds and all the native festivals that they have their pride days where they get together and the tribes celebrate their culture and their tribe. And so it's been great to do all the meet and greets with all the chiefs and all the amazing tribes, because everybody has different customs and ways, but we're all native. And it was a great experience. So I didn't want to let that go. I mean, after I left Redbone, things were slowing down for them because everybody's pretty much elders. Pat Vegas is alive. And Pete DePoe, Pat's in North Hollywood, and Pete's over in Maui. And so I think Pete DePoe is, you know, retired and not really doing much. He's just enjoying Hawaii. And Pat Vegas is doing a few shows here and there. But, you know, I had more people asking me, what are you going to do? So I created Redbone 2.0, which is Redbone... And I have various members, Garrett Siracho, Steve Roybal, and they're ex-Red Boners as well. And so they joined 2.0 at times to perform, but they're not necessarily the nucleus of the band. And so it's kind of a great experience because we still get to carry on, you know, the legacy of Redbone and bring it to the people. And to the Native people, you know, we shared a real big... place in music history because we were the first Native American band to hit platinum status and to have a hit. I mean, no one's ever done it before us. The world first heard Native American music from Redbone in 1971. Mm. And the song was Witch Queen of New Orleans. Everybody, I don't know if a lot of people know that, but it wasn't Come and Get Your Love. Witch Queen of New Orleans was the pinky act. And that was in 71. And then in 74, Redbone hit with Come and Get Your Love. So we celebrated in 2024, 50 years, along with Steve's Wheel and Stuck in the Middle with You, and a lot of great music, a lot of great rock and roll.
Hey, any new music? Are you writing anything?
I am. I'm currently working on an album. We're incorporating a little country because a lot of neighbors listen to country. And so I love country as well. And we're probably going to hit Oklahoma, Choctaw Nation, and Red Rock, and a whole bunch of places back east, and do some concert later this year. So we'll be doing shifting the gears and playing a little more country. So I've been writing some of that stuff. I'm still writing some songs in the fashion of Redbone, and we do cover a good selection of Redbone songs.
Nice.
And I'm excited about it because, our motto is we're going to rock the next generation, rock the nation to the next generation. And there's a lot of Native people that are welcoming that. They want to hear, the Redbone song.
What are the ages of Redbone 2.0?
Well, we're like in our, it's a new idea because here's what I wanted to do. I had people telling me, well, this is the way you should do it. I'm going like, well, thank you very much. But I wanted to make Redbone, this new generation, and so I have a female drummer, which is Redbone, we're usually all men. So I have a female drummer, and I think she's like in her 30s, mid-30s, late 30s, somewhere in there. I really don't know. and then I have a female keyboard player. So, the two females that are in the band are like in their mid-30s. And then I have a young guitarist, Stevie Garcia, who's, he plays with some of the people from Metalachi, which is another famous band, and they tour a lot too. But Stevie's in his 30s as well. And then Javier and I are in our 60s. Javier Lopez and myself are like in our 60s, and so we're we incorporated the female and, we're the front, the Redbone front, and then we have the girls back there. And they offer, kind of like Harry Styles. He's got a female keyboardist and a female drummer, and that adds, the female voice to the harmonies. And we really need that because Redbone has some amazing harmonies and stuff in the studio. And so effectively, we can't be like ZZ Top and have three guitars and sing Redbone songs. We have to do it like 70s, so we have strings and horns and all that done with keyboards, and we have a female voice which gives us the higher ranges and the harmonies. And it's definitely a unique new band. It's a new twist on Redbone because it's Redbone 2.0. and I'm very happy to have women in the band. I think the places needed to be filled, and I think that everybody's excited about that as well.
Youngsters.
Oh, youngsters, yeah.
I was living my teenage years in Hollywood in the mid-60s and became one of the house bands at Gazzari's in 67, 68, 69. And Pat and Lolly were playing up on Hollywood Boulevard before Redbone.
Yeah, they played a lot of places. The Haunted House and Gazzari's. So many clubs back in those days. It was pretty amazing.
We were
Hollywood scene was really going well.
We were one of the house bands, but there were always like four, every night, four bands. Yeah. And Eddie James Almost was one of the other bands.
Wow.
Eddie James and the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. There's a lot of people out there doing it.
Yeah.
It was a great time. It was a great scene going on. There's a lot of music in Hollywood Live.
I don't remember the name of the club, but Pat and Lolly Vegas that's what they were called, Pat and Lolly Vegas.
Yeah, that would have probably been the Haunted House. They used to play, the Haunted House and Gazzari's. And they had access to all those clubs, and they were playing a different style of music. It wasn't Redbone stuff. It wasn't until when they were Pat and Lolly, they ended up meeting Jimi Hendrix, and they all sat around and talked about it. And Pat and Lolly told me that Jimi said to them, "Hey man, you guys are Native. You should go go out there and show your nativeness, man, and make it happen. Because, you know, he was Cherokee himself.
Yeah.
And so they sat around and talked about it, and they did it, and all of a sudden turned on the world. Really great.
What great history. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Yeah. 60s.
You know, Blood, even don't realize that Fat and Lolly were staff writers, too, for a lot of record companies. They were selling, you know, they were doing publishing and selling songs and stuff. So they wrote stuff for Cher, Sonny and Cher, Dobie Gray, Elvis Presley. It was just P.J. Proby. What's her name? There was just a whole bunch of people they were writing for, because that's kind of how they got their notoriety, you know, from the industry.
Yeah.
So when they came out with Redbone, it was just amazing, because they were already loved and well known for their work as songwriters in the industry. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they had this really marketable look and style that nobody ever seen before, you know?
I had no idea all of that.
So you're
scheduling your rehearsals right now, and when do you plan on going on tour?
Well, we're excited because we heard they want us at the Hard Rock Cafe over in Nashville.
Nice.
So that was fun. And we heard that Reba McEntire sold one of her houses out there in Nashville, and some guys bought it and then turned it into a venue. So now it's got a place where people can, like a hotel, can stay. And they could even do camping on the grounds, and we would go outside and play live on a concert stage. That's what we're going to do. So it's really exciting. So yeah, we're looking forward towards, you know, like November, September for those gigs. There's some talk about Miranda Lambert sharing stage with Leonard Skinner and Miranda Lambert in Oklahoma. So we're ecstatic about that, because what a launch, what a reboot. It would be amazing.
I can't wait to hear the new music. And do you have a target date for the new album? Or
actually, what we're doing right now, we're in the studio recording a lot of Red Bones material, kind of re-recording it, the original stuff.
Right.
And we're making it Red Bone 2.0. We're not changing it that much, but we're making it recognizably ours. And I think that's going to be really interesting for the fans to hear, you know, the next generation to hear what we're doing, you know. We're kind of bringing it up to another level too, for this generation. So, plus the music that I'm writing myself personally, my songs. So we should probably be done. Hopefully, be done before August. You know, July, August, late. But we have to get everything done before we hit the road. So,
well, maybe we can schedule another interview with you too later on when you're on the road, and you can tell us what's going on.
Absolutely, that would be fun to do. From stage, backstage, would be really cool.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. And I forgot to mention before, is there any of your music that we could play on our show that's available now that we could play, or any particular songs?
Yeah, I can send you some music.
Okay.
After we get off here.
Mm-hmm. I'll send you my email. And
that'd be great. Thank you, Raven.
Well, we look forward to hearing a lot more from you, and wish you all the luck in the world on this. This sounds so exciting, and I'm glad my friend Michelle Murata was able to hook up this interview for us. So I'm really glad to meet you.
Thank you. Yeah, it was very sweet of her. She's a good friend, and she does a lot of photography for us too, documenting the historical rebooting Redbone 2.0. It's going to be a real exciting journey. So, thank you guys so much for wanting to talk about it. I really appreciate that, too.
Well, thank you. And we do look forward to meeting you and seeing you perform. Hopefully we can catch up to you.
It was definitely our pleasure.
Thank you so much. My pleasure as well. Thank you so much.
All right.
Have a wonderful day. Raven.
Yeah, wasn't that a fun visit? And we can't wait to see him.
And, you know, he's got an album on YouTube called Sacred Land. And we do have the title track of that song. Maybe if we have time, we can throw that in the end, too.
Sounds good.
But don't forget, Redbone 2.0 is playing May 16th, Friday, 9 p.m. at the
Flame International
Restaurant on
11330 Santa Monica Boulevard in Los Angeles. And they have dinner and a full bar.
Perfect. Wish we were free.
Wish we were free, but we are reasonable.
Yes. And again, we want to thank you for listening to Cords, Vines, and Dines. Melissa's Produce, our dear friends at Melissa's, our official produce sponsor, melissas.com.
Yes. I'm excited to see Robert in just a couple weeks.
Robert Schuller.
Yes.
So that's a wrap. And Gary, thank you, as always.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kat, I love you.
I love you, too. Love you, too, Gary.
Love you, too.
We're just so loving around here.
Little boy, play with the sticks in the stones, in the sand. He's got much more than his heart. Just this.
Hello, this is Billy Yates. I am a record producer and musician and former guitarist for the Outlaws and sometimes with the Marshall Tucker Band. And I would like to say that I am here on Chords, Vines, and Dines.